morning. It's good to be back and see everyone back. I'll add, I knew I'd sought Will out before services because I had something I didn't get in the bulletin and I wanted him to announce. And then when I found him, I didn't remember what I was going to tell him, so I didn't tell him. But keep the Kansas congregation in your prayers. Of course, Casey is here this morning, but I think they've been hit with an outbreak of COVID-19, and they are laying out at least this week. So keep the congregation there in Kansas in your prayers as well. We're kind of on that downhill slope of to 2022. I'm just going to start off this morning confessing something. I'm a pretty big worrier. That might surprise some of you, but you can tell me your greatest news or the best plan, and just give me about 4 seconds. I can ruin it for you. It's a gift that I have. But I do. I struggle with worry. I think the worst thing that I've ever worried about on more than one occasion is that I found myself worrying that I have forgotten what it was that I was supposed to be worrying about. Have you ever been like that? I've had something on my mind, a pit in my stomach, something I'm worried about, and then I kind of forgot what it was that I was worrying about, and then I get a little bit anxious about not remembering what it was that I was supposed to be worrying about. And I like to have a personal schedule. And I try not to put that schedule on other people. Sometimes I can't help it, but I like to have a plan. And again, that does not mean that I'm going to follow that plan, but I like to have one. I like guidelines. I like to know what I'm going to be doing. I like to know what comes next. And what I really do, though, is end up feeling more hurried and worried in so much of my life, trying to get through to whatever I'm doing right now so I can move on to what comes next. About a year and a half ago, this became very crystal clear to me in a not-so moment that really matters that much. But when I was at Disneyland about a year and a half ago, I did become very aware of this. We were having a great time, but there were moments when we were supposed to be at another attraction in say like 15 minutes, and we were still in the line for another ride. And all I could think about was getting to that next place. I'll enjoy that one. We just have to get through this line that we're in because there's something else that I'm going to enjoy coming up next. I wasn't really even enjoying where I was at. I was in front of things, seeing things that I had never seen and I probably will never see again. And all I could think about was how much longer until we move on to the next thing. Again, I wasn't enjoying where we were. I just wanted to move on. And it dawned on me, slow down. Enjoy this moment. Enjoy being here. Take it all in. Stop hurrying. Stop worrying. And I found a nickel on the ground eventually, and I picked it up. And for the rest of the time, whenever I would get a little bit anxious about this or that, I'd just roll that nickel around it through my fingers, reminding myself, just slow down and stop worrying. Be present in the moment that you're in. Think about what you are seeing. Think about what you are experiencing and who you are and what God is doing with you and for you. I read a story that said in South Korea, there is a place where the citizens there can spend $90 a day to go to prison. They pay $90 a day between 24 and 48 hours to spend time in a prison cell. 54 square feet of what they call a prison cell. They sleep on the floor. They wear prison jumpsuits. They have no clock, no mirror, no cell phone. There's no talking amongst inmates for 24 to 48 hours. And they say the reason that they built this prison for people to voluntarily go to is because that South Korea is a hyper-competitive culture with a hurried lifestyle. In fact, they have the third highest number of working hours a year. And so these people pay money to spend a day or two in silence and solitude. The co-founder says that people often say after their stay in prison that this is not the prison. The real prison is what we return to. Could that be right? Could we be slaves to our hurried and worried lives? Think about this moment that we're living in. Think about this moment of pandemic when there's nothing in this world that we want more than for things to go back to how they used to be. We've been saying it now for over a year and a half. I can't wait till things go back to normal. Maybe it's not so great if things go back to normal. Maybe if we are prisoners or slaves to this hurried and worried lifestyle, maybe we shouldn't be asking or waiting or praying for things to go back to normal. Maybe we should be waiting and wanting and praying for things to be better. I'd love it if we were to come out of this season where there's a little less going on than there was before. I would hope that we would come out of this season better, more spiritual, more disciplined. And that's what this series that we've been doing has been talking about, using this season in our lives to become more disciplined, to spend more time thinking about the needs of others, giving to others, and doing so quietly and secretly, spending more time in prayer, that this period in our life when less is going on, to spend time fasting and praying and giving and being generous. And then when we come out of this season, hopefully we will be a better people with a deeper and richer relationship with our Father in heaven. And so we'll pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and continuing to think about spiritual disciplines. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." And that's really the way that it is, isn't it? With earthly treasures, no matter where you put them, no matter where you store them, no matter what kind of economy you live in, there's the possibility that something changes. And what you've saved up for, what you've stored up, or what you've worked so hard to accumulate and protect, it's gone. We sometimes spend our whole lives chasing savings. We spend our entire lives chasing a fortune and a lifestyle, and just like that, it can be gone. In fact, just like that, it will be gone. Whether we live to see it be gone or not, or whether our life ends, it will be gone. And we spend so much time worrying and chasing and seeking these things, laying up these treasures where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When we live spiritually disciplined lives, what we are doing is we are making deposits into an account that cannot be affected by economic downturn. It doesn't matter what happens. When we are living for our Father, we are making deposits into an account that cannot be affected by moth or rust or thieves or an economy that goes bad. No matter what happens, we are secure. Hasn't Jesus been telling us this for the last few sections that we've been looking at over the last several weeks? Jesus has been telling us, your Father will reward you. This is the kind of lifestyle you ought to live. A life of secrecy, of secretly giving, of secretly being generous, of secretly praying and fasting and having and seeking a relationship with the Father. And every time you live a spiritual, disciplined life, you are making deposits into an account that won't be affected by moth or rust or thieves or a bad economy. And he says in verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, this appears to be a pretty difficult part of Scripture, but it helped me when I realized and understood that the word healthy here means motivated by a singleness of purpose. Again, the word healthy in this translation, it means motivated by a singleness of purpose. When you have a single vision, when you have your vision on one thing, when you have your eyes set exclusively on your Father, your whole body will be full of light. When you have your whole vision, your whole focus and mind set on your Father, your whole body will be full of light. But if it's bad, here it's contrasted. Healthy means singular vision and focus. So bad would mean what? Multivision, dual vision. You're looking at all kinds of things. And that's the way that treasure is. That's the way that greed is. Greed never just wants one thing. Greed wants everything. It's never satisfied. You don't just want one thing, you want two things, and then you want three things, and then you want four things, and so nothing will ever satisfy. And Jesus says, when your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Greed corrupts, and then it consumes. We think, I can want that, and I can want God. I can want to live this lifestyle, and I can want God. I can want all of this stuff, and I can want God. I can have this over here be my spiritual life, and this be over here be my career life. This is my focus sometimes, and this over here is my focus sometimes. And Jesus says, it doesn't work that way. You can't chase two things. You can't serve two masters. He says, if then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one. Again, who? No one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You see, if your eye is healthy, if you have a singular focus on your whole body will be full of light. Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve two masters. We think we can sometimes. We think that we can have two goals. We think that we can have two pursuits, that we can have two masters. We think we can love this sort of dualistic lifestyle where again we say this part of my life is devoted to God and my spiritual pursuits, and this category over here is devoted to my accumulation and the protection of my wealth and my lifestyle. But it just doesn't work that way. Jesus says you will either love the one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other, but you can't do both. You can't serve both God and treasure. I was reading this week about Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson lived an interesting life. Thomas Jefferson understood that the institution of slavery was wrong. In fact, he called it a moral and political depravity. He knew that slavery was wrong. He spent a lot of time in his career to trying to end slavery. But personally, Thomas Jefferson owned over 600 slaves. And he only emancipated, anyone want to throw out a number? Seven of them. How is it that a person could know and understand that this practice, this institution is wrong, and still be a very active participant in it? He wrote a letter once where he was talking about slavery versus what else had been built. And he said this, he said, we have the wolf by the ear, and we can neither hold him nor safely let him go. Justice is on one scale, and self-preservation is on the other. He knew that it was both. He knew that on one hand, it was the right thing to do. The right thing to do was to end slavery, but he was terrified to end slavery. He was so terrified that if they were to end and abolish slavery, it would destroy everything that had been built. And sometimes that's the fear. And I don't say that in an attempt to cancel Thomas Jefferson. I say that to say this is human nature. There are times in our life where we know what the right thing to do is. This is the path that God would have me go down. This is what I should do, but it's not practical. That's what Thomas Jefferson kept saying. It's not practical. It's the right thing to do, but it's not the practical thing to do. If we abolish slavery like I think we should, it will destroy what I think we have built. And you and I have moments like that. In fact, we have moments like that on a daily basis sometimes where we know what the right thing to do is, but it seems so very impractical to us. And we want to preserve what we already have. He says, on one hand, you have justice, righteousness, fairness, and on the other hand, you have self-preservation. Which will you choose? And Jesus says, you can't choose both. You cannot have an eye for both the worldly treasure and an eye for your Father. You cannot serve God and money. It's not that it's hard to. It's not that it's difficult to. It's not that you probably can't. It is impossible to serve God and money. You have to decide, to whom will I be devoted? Jesus says if you are singularly focused on your Father, if you are singularly focused on God, then your whole body will be full of light. That's the goal. We want our whole body to be full of light, not with corruption. And again, that's what greed does. It corrupts us. We want our whole self to be full of light. And the only way to have that whole self full of light, that is full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, the only way to have a life like that is to be singularly focused on God. So how do we do that? How do we do that in a world of being hurried and worried, in a world that is so fast-paced and every time you turn around, there's something new and shiny to look at? Sometimes, or something that the world says that this is what you need, or the world says that this is scary and it's going to get taken away, what you already have. And so there are always these desires to accumulate more or to preserve what we already have. And Jesus just says, no. Singularly focus on your Father, and when you do, you will be full of light. So how do we accomplish that? Well, listen to what Jesus says. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Pay attention to this word. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? The Greek word for look here is blepo. But the word that Matthew chose to use for Jesus' words is emblepo. And emblepo means to intently look at something. Jesus is inviting his disciples to really look at the birds. He's inviting them to meditate on the birds, consider the birds, think of the birds. Maybe there were birds there, but that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, notice these birds in our general area. He's not saying, just glance at these birds. He's saying, when you see a bird, really look at it. Stop in your hurried and worried lifestyle where you are, chasing food and drink and clothes, and stop and just look at the birds. Consider the birds. Meditate on the birds. Ask yourself, how do they spend their days? Well, they work really hard. They worry about what they're going to have to eat that day. Or what about tomorrow? Do they have a barn where they're going to store their food? No. God feeds them. And in fact, Jesus says, your Father feeds them. So consider the birds and then look in the mirror and think about yourself. Consider yourself. Meditate on yourself. If my Father feeds those birds, how much more will he feed me? When's the last time you stopped and meditated on the birds? When's the last time that you slowed down? You turned the TV off. You stopped with the hurry and worry. You turned your phone off and you just considered these truths. You asked these deep questions. How valuable am I to my Father? Meditate. Consider. That's a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual discipline to shut things off and step away and spend time thinking and considering on these deep questions. And then he says in verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? When's the last time you stopped and asked a question like this? What am I gaining by worrying? He says, which of you by being anxious, present active indicative here, meaning making this my lifestyle, what am I gaining by being anxious? What am I gaining by living a hurried and worried lifestyle? And again, as I was walking down that pathway, that's what occurred to me. What am I gaining by moving on so quick to the next thing? Is it better? What are you gaining? What are you gaining by worrying about your food and drink and clothing? Is your life going to be longer because you worried? He says, how many of you can add a single hour of life or any measure to your lifespan? Are you going to live longer because you worried? Well, I think chances are we know that you're not going to live as long as if you worry. But it's not gaining you anything. Somebody said that worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but you don't get anywhere. And that's exactly right. What are you gaining by being hurried? What are you gaining by being worried? What are you gaining by chasing these things? It's vain and it's worthless. But in order to reflect on that, in order to consider that, you have to stop and meditate on these deeper questions. We have to spend time during the week turning things off and stepping away, considering not what is going to happen or what is happening around us, not what this group or that group is going to do, but considering these deep truths. What am I gaining by being anxious? And then he says in verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider, again, think about, meditate on the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? How is it that the lilies grow? How is it that they get so beautiful? Is it because of their hard work and their ingenuity? No, it's because our Father has blessed them. That's why the sunrise and sunsets are so beautiful. That's why the flowers are so beautiful, because our Father has made it so. And Jesus says, stop. Stop chasing, stop worrying about what you're going to eat or drink or wear, and consider these things. Look at these things. Meditate on these things. Spend time in meditation. I think sometimes we don't like that word meditation because it brings up ideas of Eastern mystic religions where they look inside themselves for answers. But Jesus encourages us not to look inside ourselves. He tells us to look up and to look out. Look at what your Father has done. Look at what your Father is doing. Look at what your Father will do. Listen to his promises. But how often in our hurried and worried lifestyles do we really stop and meditate? Do we really stop and consider? Do we really stop and just take a deep breath and look at a sunset or a bird as it flies or a lily as it grows? We like to say, stop and smell the roses. Not just that roses are smell nice and good, more than that. How did they get so beautiful? How did they become to smell so good? Our Father did it. And he loves you more than he loves the rose. Our Father loves you more than he does the sparrow, more than he does the lily. And if he takes care of his creation, how much more so will he take care of you? But in order to have that peace of mind, in order to have that deeper relationship with our Father, we have to consider and stop and look and meditate on the truths of what God has done, is doing, and will do. And when I say God, I mean what Jesus meant, your Father. He says in verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What is it that the world meditates on? I need, I need, I need. I want, I want, I want. I need food, I need drink, I need clothing all the time, constantly. Our world is telling us to meditate on these things, on how much better your life will be if you consume this. Imagine how much better your life will be if you have that. Imagine how bad your life is going to be if you lose this. The world is constantly encouraging us to meditate on what you're going to eat and drink and wear. Every ad, every commercial, every news program is telling you to consider these things, think on these things, meditate on these things. And Jesus says that's what the Gentiles are seeking, and it's filling them with anxiety. To go back to what he said at the beginning, it's filling them with darkness. Their whole body is filled with darkness because they have a vision for everything. And that's human nature. We want everything. And we want to hang on to everything. Everything we have, we want to keep. And everything we don't have, we want to figure out a way to get it. And we are constantly meditating on these things, considering these things. And our whole body becomes filled with darkness. Consider, just think about the evil that is committed against one another and against other people. Because we're so afraid we're not going to get something maybe to eat or drink or something to wear, or we're going to lose one of those things. Jesus says the Gentiles seek these things. But here's the contrast. If you're going to be Jesus' disciple, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, here's what we do. And I really think this may be the secret to life. In every situation, here's what you do. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's singular vision. That's what it means to have a healthy eye and a body that is filled with light, is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, all these things. What things? Well, what you're going to eat and drink and wear will be added to you. If not in this life, in the next for sure. Why are you so worried? Why are you chasing after these things? Why are you allowing your body to be filled with darkness by meditating about things you are going to eat or drink or wear? He says, singularly focus on what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we focus on. That's what we meditate on. And all these things will be added into you. I really do believe if we did that, so many problems that we experience would be taken care of. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus continues on and says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for today, for the day is its own trouble. To go back to what we said a few weeks ago when he taught his disciples to pray. What is it that we pray for before our food, about our day? We pray for about anything else. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be hallowed, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our meditation. What is my Father doing? And what would my Father have me do? Then when we come to those forks in the road where we say, I can't choose both. On this one hand, I have justice and righteousness and fairness and equity. And on this other hand, I have self-preservation. What should I choose? Self-preservation or justice and fairness? Well, for us that are focused and considering and seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his fairness, his justice, for the people that spend their time considering the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air, considering what is my Father up to? What does his kingdom look like? What defines his righteousness? What has he done in the past, in the present, and what will he do in the future? Again, for those of us that are considering those things, that are asking those questions, when we come to the fork in the road, it's a lot easier to make that choice. It's a lot easier to see our course. Of course, the only way to choose is his righteousness. So may our meditations be on what pleases our Father. May our meditation be on his love and care. I'll kind of finish this up with a quote I read. It said that we can advance down the road of perfection only by walking closely with Jesus as we watch his way of dealing with countless problems and troubles that beset his life. We achieve wisdom as to how to meet our own. Again, we can only know how to meet our troubles by walking with Jesus. And as we walk with Jesus, we become wiser. And we can say, that's how I handle that situation. Because you've spent time walking with Jesus and allowing him to train us. By at times, again, turning things off and considering the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air. And your Father's love. As we spend time with Jesus, we figure out how to live our lives. And then that quote is finished with this. It says, but to walk with Jesus is to walk with a slow, unhurried pace. Hurry is the death of prayer, and it only impedes and soils our work. It never advances it. So good. Hurry is the death of prayer, and it only impedes and soils our work. It never advances it. Stop. Smell the roses. Remind yourself who your Father is, what he has done, what he is doing, what he will do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't allow yourself to be filled with darkness. Set your eye, a singular vision on your Father and his kingdom and his righteousness. Then your whole body will be filled with light. Here's how we'll finish up. Trading hurry and worrying for meditating on your Father's will and work. The promise of Jesus is that if you do these things, your whole body will be filled with light. That if you're willing to discipline yourself, if you're willing to train your eyes, if you're willing to stop meditating on the questions of the world and start meditating on your Father's will, what is my Father's work? What has my Father done? What is he doing? What will he do? The more you do that, the more your whole body will be filled with light. And how you will know the answers to those questions, by the way, well, part of it is studying your Bible. But Jesus' disciples didn't have their own copies at the time. And it wouldn't be for a very long time before everybody would or could. But you do. You can. You have your own Bible or a device that can store hundreds of translations. And you can stop at any point in your day and read about what your Father has done or is doing or will do. But what we also need to spend time thinking about and considering and meditating on those questions, looking at the creation and reminding ourselves that our Father did this. This is His will and this is His work. How much more will our lives be filled with light when these things are what we meditate on? Have a singular vision. If you need help this morning thinking about or focusing on the Father's will and work and you need our help, we want to do that for you. We've spent a better part of this year in one way or another disconnected. And it's not like riding a bike. Being disconnected in a relational sense takes time to get reconnected. It's not overnight. It's a process. But the first step has to be made. And we want to make that with you in any way we can. Maybe it's time to become a Christian. Maybe it's time to follow Christ and put Him on in baptism, to be raised up a new creature. And then move on to find someone else is lost and show them the same grace and mercy that you've received from Christ. This morning, the message is up to you. Please come as together we stand and we sing.